BBC Holby City, starring Bob Barrett as Sasha, Tina Hobley as Chrissy, Sarah Jane Potts as Eddie, and Joseph Milson as Luke. When Sasha Met Chrissy by Justin Young. Previously.
I have morphine and I have booked a CT scan for the abdo.
Morphine? Well, she could have taken anything. Missing patients, missed bloods. Everything's falling apart around you at the moment.
You do it all then. If I was so rubbish, you took care of it.
Okay, fine.
Don't worry about it. Hey, I've got your back, okay?
Chrissy sent your flowers back. Guess she doesn't do irony.
Woman trouble.
A huge banner reads, "I love you, Chrissy Williams."
I need to know what you've taken. Opiates go missing, you're acting really spaced out. Excuse me for being suspicious.
Wow, the paranoia's finally got to you.
So, we're still getting married?
That banner thing was lovely, but the wedding has to be small.
Your wish, my command.
Oh, good. This is good.
Monday.
So, why did you decide to get married?
Oh, wow, that's a great question. Why did we decide to get married? Darling, do you want to take this one?
Well, it was just a spontaneous thing, really.
Sorry. You should know for the record that she actually proposed to me.
Technically.
Well, she couldn't bear me referring to her as, you know, my girlfriend or partner one more time, so she...
So I said, says, how about wife?
Wife. When I said, of course. And then we were engaged for how long?
About 4 months.
Yeah, about 4 months. Until last week, when we suddenly thought, you know, what the hell are we waiting for? Didn't we? And I phoned you, and you said you had a free slot. So here we both are.
Is this for real?
Yeah. Think of it as a mentoring scheme.
How am I supposed to do my job?
Same as before, except for now, whenever you sign a drug out from the DDA cupboard, you will get the record book countersigned by a registrar or a consultant.
What's this?
It's a new initiative. As of this morning, there's an email.
The drugs cupboard is always the responsibility of the senior nurse. That is why I have the key.
Yes, but there is an investigation pending as to how a locum doctor got his hands on industrial quantities of camoxidan on our ward. So until we're all exonerated...
You know why they don't give doctors this key? Because doctors go AWOL. Yeah, and they lose everything.
Thanks for the vote of confidence, Eddie.
What am I supposed to do, Michael? If it's a patient that needs some urgent medication and I can't find anybody.
Make sure you do.
What if I can't?
Michael goes.
From where I'm standing, it seems a tad draconian.
Here are the facts. We have just scraped through an investigation into the death of a patient who more or less died in the back of a van under my watch. And now I've got to explain how a couple of weeks ago we had a doctor who was operating while strung out on painkillers. What would you do?
I'd write it off as two unfortunate but unconnected events. Schneider was an addict. Wherever he was, he'd have found a way.
And if the senior nurse wasn't so accommodating...
That is dangerously speculative.
He's banging the woman who's got the keys to the cookie jar and his pockets are full of cookies. It's a complete coincidence. Look, until this investigation is over, we are all under suspicion.
Well, then there's no need to pick on our senior nurse, is there? Why don't we just let her get on with her job?
Yes, Eddie.
I need to get some codeine for my patient, and I'm assuming that I can't sign it out without a chaperone.
Mr. Hemingway? Yeah.
Luke leaves, looking annoyed.
We've been through all of this before.
It just feels weird. You know, we're taking this huge step in 4 days' time, and nobody knows about it.
I don't think it's weird. I think it's romantic.
Our families? The girls?
If we tell the girls, we've got to tell your mum. We tell your mum, we've got to tell my dad. And before you know it, or you and me can run off in our lunch hour, do this fantastically romantic thing. It's just about you and me.
Can we go for lunch or dinner afterwards? Maybe even a hotel room for the night? A mini moon?
Let's see if I can get the time off. But it's not about anyone else. It's just about us. And no fuss. Just us, remember?
No fuss. Just us.
Sasha shows his phone to Chrissy. His mother's calling.
Are you gonna get that?
The moment she hears my voice, she'll know we're up to something. Right, that's it. I'll turn my mobile off till Friday.
Oh, you can't do that.
Oh, trust me. It is safer this way. You know, after Friday, we can call her, we can call the girls, we can call everyone, but until then...
Chrissy draws a zip across her lips, then Sasha does the same.
Oh, I'd have thought, eh? Rainy night in Rodolfo's. We weren't up here. And in 4 days' time, you're gonna be...
Sasha.
So that is 2 codeine for Mrs. Johansson, mm-hmm. which means that 18 codeine are going right back in the drug cupboard.
Agreed.
You don't have to stick up for me, you know.
Sorry?
I heard you. With Michael, I can fight my own battles.
I don't doubt that.
I know everyone thinks that it was me. It was supply and Max.
Really? Interesting. Personally, I think Max probably had his own supply from somewhere else. That now he's gone, you'd like to just get on with your life and forget he ever existed.
Right.
Yeah, we really don't have to do this.
Do what?
I've got better things to do with my day than follow you to the drugs cupboard every 10 minutes. Why don't you just sign things out in the normal way and if anyone asks, I'll say I was your witness.
How do you know I'm not going to steal 5 packs of morphine and go sell them down the nearest playground?
Well, I don't, but I trust you.
Luke walks out of the controlled drugs cupboard, leaving Eddie thinking. Later, she walks into the empty AAU locker room and goes to her locker. She unlocks and opens the door, then glances over her shoulder. She takes out a blister pack of camoxidin and pushes out 2 tablets. She swallows them back with a sip from a drinks can kept in the locker. Eddie closes and locks the door, then faces herself in a mirror on the wall. She pushes her short brown hair back, looping it behind her ears, rubs her face, and straightens her blue uniform. Tuesday, at the Keller Ward Nurses Station.
Mr. Griffin, I know this is short notice, but I was wondering whether you could have a Friday afternoon off.
It's not ideal, to be honest, but if it's for something vital...
Well, it's vital-ish. Daniel, he's got a doctor's appointment.
Everything's okay, I hope.
Yeah, it's just hard to get an appointment with a paediatrician.
Well, if it's easier, you could take the whole day.
No, that's fine. No fuss.
Okay.
Okay, spill.
Spill what?
Doctor's appointment. Come on, that's right up there with the dog ate my homework. You live with Sasha. He's your own 24-hour on-call personal physician.
Sasha is not a paediatrician.
Nah, I'm not buying it. If you're up to something, Shannon's, what do you reckon?
I don't know.
Got it. You're doing one of those instant facelifts.
No, but thanks.
Oh, I know. Mr. Levy's taking you on a mini break to... Bath.
Nope.
Paris? Rome. Oh, finger roller.
Well, you're up to something.
There's no secret. You can stop looking at me like that.
Right, what do we got here?
This is Henrietta. She's from the ED. Her car met a wall at 40 miles an hour. There weren't any passengers.
Yikes.
Yep, Glasgow coma scale was 7 at the scene, so they intubated her. They gave her a head CT in the ED.
Well, there's no sign of any obvious damage. Looks like it could be a possible AVM. But why is she still unconscious?
I don't know. Right, low Glasgow coma scale at the scene, so... could be post-ictal.
Well, it's a possibility, certainly.
Well, I'd say it was way more than a possibility. Look right there, Sasha, can you see in the corner? Maybe she had a seizure, could have caused a crash.
Oh, yeah. That's a good call. Mm. Right, let's call Keller and get her an EEG.
Will do, boss.
Sasha smiles at Eddie's efficiency.
Oh, my God.
What is it?
Hang on a minute. Hi, guys.
Hi, Dad.
What's up? Anything happened?
I told you you'd forget.
What have I forgotten?
Excuse me, do you know where AEU is, please?
Yeah, down the end, turn left.
I mean, obviously, it is great you guys are coming to stay with us for the next few days while your mum's away, and... And, you know, we're really looking forward to it. But... I mean, you don't want to be stuck with boring old Dad and Chrissy every night.
Why are you trying to get rid of us?
I'm not. Of course I'm not. I mean, that's absolutely the last thing.
Have you planned something else? Something with Chrissy?
Yes. OK, yes. I've screwed up.
booked to take Chrissy away for the night.
To take her away another night?
Well, the thing is, it's a bit of a special occasion, so if there's any way that you guys can...
What special occasion? Is it her birthday?
No.
Oh, my God, you're getting married. Are you?
Oh, sorry to interrupt. Your suspected AVM. Her husband's here.
Her suspected AVM.
Sasha. Your mother called again.
Oh, crikey. What did you tell her?
Well, I told her the same as the last three times. Your phone's broken, you're busy in theatre with a patient.
Oh, good, good. Excellent.
Excuse me. This is Mr. Levy. All right?
I'm so sorry to have kept you waiting.
Where have you been?
I'm sorry?
You're supposed to be a hands doctor. She's just been lying here.
Well, we're just about to send her up to Keller Ward for a test called an EEG.
She's been here 2 hours, passed from pillar to post, and you still don't know what's wrong with her. I'm sorry, but it's not good enough.
Look, I appreciate how distressing this must be to see her like this, but I'm afraid there's nothing we can do.
Look, we just had breakfast. She said she was popping down the shops to get a few things. Next thing I know, the phone goes, some guy from the hospital. Why did this happen? What's wrong with her? Why hasn't she woken up yet?
We don't think she's unconscious because of the accident. We think she crashed a car because she blacked out.
Well, why?
Looks like she had a fit, which was brought on by her underlying condition.
What are you talking about? What condition?
Chrissy notices Sasha's two daughters sitting together in the AAU office.
Girls, what are you doing here? Becca, what's the matter?
Why don't you want us at your wedding?
Why did you tell them about Friday?
They forced it out of me.
We agreed. Just us. I'll have to go and stay with your mum.
But don't you think now they know it's happening, that'd be a bit brutal? I mean, would it be so bad if they came?
Look, you'll have to explain to them that we love them very much, but it's not that kind of occasion.
No, I'm sorry. I cannot do that. I can't look my daughters in the eye and tell them I don't want them there, because I do.
We agreed. Just us.
That's the thing. After Friday, they are us. I mean, you're going to be the stepmother. Us will mean the five of us.
Let's talk about this later.
Hang on a minute, I live with her. I think I'd know if she had a condition.
Fine. If you don't believe us, why don't you take her home? I mean, I'm sure it's a way better idea than you letting us take her up to a fully equipped high dependency unit. She needs an urgent neurological assessment, all right? She might be still fitting. Look at her. She ain't waking up, is she? But obviously, you know best.
Nurse McKee, a word, please.
Sasha rushes over.
I am so, so sorry about that. Nurse McKee, she's a great nurse, but she's a little feisty. This is Sister Williams. She's going to be taking Henrietta up to Keller.
Henny. She hates being called Henrietta. It's always Henny. Apparently, she has something called an AVM. Do you know what that is?
Abnormality in the brain.
And they know what causes it?
I'm afraid we don't know.
How long's she known?
Well, according to her notes, about 5 years.
In the AAU office.
So go on then.
Go on what?
Give me the you were bang out of order speech, because I know you're dying to.
Spooky. It's like you can see inside my mind.
I'm sorry that I lost my temper. Okay? It was very unprofessional of me. I will apologise. There, are we done?
What did he say that upset you so much?
Maybe I'm just sick and tired of everyone trying to undermine me. I just want to do my job, Luke, and I'd really like just to get a little bit of respect.
Well, then why don't you just do it? Shut out the white noise, get your head down, ignore the rest of the world.
Because we're not all like you. We can't all just do that.
She heads out. Rick and Malik are with Henny's husband, Jock.
I'm afraid that the CT scan showed that the AVM had bled.
So, what, you'll want to operate?
Well, given the small size of the bleed and the risks of surgery, we don't believe that it's worth operating at this stage.
So what can you do?
All we can do now is keep an eye on her, see if she shows any signs of improvement.
And could she wake up?
As my colleague says, we'll keep a close eye on her.
Rick and Malik head away. Looking tense, grey-haired Jock returns to Henny's bedside.
You okay?
When we were 17, the summer we met, Hen told me about a view that she'd found up near where we lived. So she dragged me up this near vertical hill. I'm out of breath after about 5 minutes, but up she goes. Then halfway up, she gashes her leg open on a rock. But it doesn't slow her down. And when we got to the top, the view was so breathtaking, I asked her to marry me on the spot. Hen doesn't give up, you know. She never gives up.
Don't worry, we'll look after her.
I know you will. I know that. Come on, Hen. You can do it. Come on, be strong.
You know they've been together for 40 years.
Yeah, getting less for murder.
Imagine what it must be like to be with someone that long.
Like being buried alive.
Do you know, one day that'll be you in that bed, wanting someone to fight your corner, to hold your hand.
Sure. Well, I'm not about to trade in passion for bedroom slippers just because I'm scared I'll die alone someday.
Eddie has changed out of uniform into her own clothes in the locker room. Standing at her open locker, she takes out the blister pack of Camoxidin, but discovers it's empty. She looks annoyed as she closes her locker, then becomes worried. She pulls the key from the lock, taking a breath, then pulls her bag strap onto her shoulder and walks to the door. She turns the lights off and leaves. Wednesday.
I still don't get why you don't want to have a proper wedding.
It's not that I don't want a proper wedding.
Aren't you going to wear a big white dress?
No, I think I'd look a bit silly in a big white dress.
What will we call you when you and Dad are married?
Chrissy will be fine.
I think it's like you're ashamed to be getting married.
Rachel, do you want to come to the wedding or not?
I suppose.
Right, here we are. First stop, Holby City. Next stop, school.
Oliver and Tara.
What was that?
What?
A hand drop.
Oh, it's no big deal.
OK, well, in that case...
I just don't think it's very professional, that's all.
Well, I disagree. I see consultants holding hands all the time. Elliot and Jack, Hanson and Rick Griffin. Everyone's at it.
Well, I don't think we need to rub it in our colleagues' faces, the fact that we're...
The fact that we're what?
No.
I was just holding your hand. It's not like we're going at it hammering the tongs in the coffee. Well, come on, hold my hand.
No.
Hold my hand.
No. Look it up.
No.
Ollie, I'm serious.
Well, I'm not letting go, so...
You all right? You seem a bit...
So would you be if you were stuck in a hot car with a bunch of Levies?
Well, that's what you signed up for. What happened?
She blew a pupil. We ran a CT scan. Bleeds got much bigger, so we're taking her straight into theatre.
Why? I mean, at her age, aren't you taking a massive risk?
The neurosurgeons have talked to their husband. He knows what the risks are.
And he still wants to put her through it?
I've got all the information, thank you. And I know there's a chance she won't make it through the op. I also know she'll almost certainly die without it.
Neuros are taking her through now. You scrubbing in?
Sure.
So you collapsed on a bus, is that right?
Miss Yang.
Yes, I know your name is Miss Yang. Yes, yes, I got that. And you collapsed on a bus? Yes, I know you have pain in your heart. We think you might have had a heart attack. Is there any luck with that translator?
Not yet. I'm working on it.
Oh, terrific. Marvellous. I have no way of communicating with Miss Yang. There's no patient notes. It's like Odile all over again. Except, hopefully not. Obviously.
So, did you get the pain relief? Get the Camoxidin?
Yeah.
Well, given her echo results, let's get her up to Darwin as soon as possible. OK, can you give them a call?
I'm worried, aren't it? Miss Naylor is expecting her, surely.
Oh, well, I'm sure Jack will give her a very warm welcome.
Sasha, there's somebody here to see you.
Oh, great. Who?
His mother.
Oh, crikey.
On Darwin Ward.
Ah, Dr. Lowe. Before you go running to HR, I want you to know that I'm in no way making cultural assumptions in regards to your ethnicity, but do you by any chance speak Chinese?
Huida. That's a yes.
Well, it looks like they might finally found a use for you then.
Jock is waiting outside Keller's theatre as Henny is wheeled out.
Well?
She's survived the operation.
Of course she did. I told you, my girl's made of strong stuff.
But I have to stress that she's still in a critical condition.
So what happens now?
We take her through to intensive care.
Can I go with her?
I'm afraid we need some time to get her set up in ITU.
But as soon as we finish, you can go through.
When she wakes up, you let her know I'm here, won't you?
Yeah, of course.
Malik and Chrissy leave him standing in the corridor.
Congratulations!
What did we do?
Not you, Sister Williams. You kept that quiet. Why didn't you say anything?
About what?
Sister Williams and Mr. Levy are getting married on Friday.
Really?
So, tell us everything. What's the dress like? Who are your bridesmaids? Where are you going on your honeymoon?
It's not that kind of wedding.
Oh, that's a shame.
And it was supposed to be a secret. How does everyone know?
So what choice did you leave me, Sasha? I was this close to breaking my leg so I could get myself admitted. So, you're running away like some kind of shotgun job. Where are you going? Gretna Green?
Mum, you know I adore you, but this is exactly the reason I didn't tell you. Because I knew it would become this huge issue.
I'm not making any huge issue.
Aren't you?
No. You're an adult. You can do what you like.
Oh, thank you.
I might feel a little hurt. I might wonder what I've done to offend you and Chrissy that you shut me up like this.
Look, you know, we've got three kids between us. We've both been married before. It's not exactly like we're love's young dream, is it?
What's age got to do with it? Sasha, if you can look me in the eye and tell me that a little registry office with no one there, is that what you really want? Is that your dream wedding? Is that going to make you happy? Then I will give you my blessing.
On Darwin.
Ah, Valentine, any sign of your girlfriend?
My what?
She was supposed to be getting back to me with a diagnosis for our Chinese friend about half an hour ago.
I'll go and check, and FYI, she's not my girlfriend.
Oh, just sex then, is it?
No. I think you must be confusing us with you and Nurse McComey.
我剛才坐巴士過去喎,就這個浪上停,點知呢,對一個我個心好痛喎,咁之後呢,醒咗之後,我喺醫院了。The patient hands her phone to Tara.
Yep. Right. Mom, I'm gonna call you back.
Mum.
Tara smiles.
See, in my experience, when a woman's about to get married, usually she can't talk about anything else. But you...
I don't want to talk about this.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't this supposed to be the happiest day of your life?
Tell me, am I making a terrible mistake here?
Whoa, why would you even ask me that?
Just tell me.
Look, doesn't matter what I... The only thing that matters is what you think.
I thought I'd feel certain by now, but I've got all these questions going round and round in my head. Like, can I really be the wife he wants me to be? Can I stay faithful to him for the rest of my life? I mean, I've screwed every other relationship up, so why would this be different?
You know what, Chrissy? You're asking the wrong guy. I mean, I don't know. I can't even book a holiday with a guy because I don't know how I'm going to feel about him in 3 months' time. So, how do you know how you're going to feel in 10 years or 20?
I guess you grow together. What's up?
Hi to you. It's Henny.
Okay, so just to be absolutely clear, you told Naylor that you can speak Chinese when in actual fact you can't.
No, I can. There's just two languages in Chinese, Mandarin and Cantonese. And guess what? Miss Yang speaks Cantonese and I speak Mandarin.
Come on, they can't be that different.
They're completely different, like English and Swedish.
Why don't you just come clean?
Because this is the first time since I've been here that Miss Naylor actually needs me. I can be genuinely useful to her.
Except you can't.
Thanks. Helpful.
So you decided to call your mother?
Yeah, well, she speaks both. It was the best idea I can help with in the spur of the moment.
Okay, what's your diagnosis?
Well, I don't have one. I just managed to get hold of her when you showed up.
Okay, well, I guess we should go and continue our cross-examination.
We?
Yeah, me, you, and your mum.
I don't understand this. You said she was doing well.
I said she survived the operation. We've done another scan. She has massive brain swelling. There's nothing more that the neurosurgeons can do.
No, 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 you have to do something.
I'm afraid there is nothing else that we can do.
Well, there has to be.
We can do everything we can to make her comfortable. She won't be in any pain.
No. No, please, please. Please, Henny. Henny, don't give up. You can't give up. I'm not going to let you give up.
She's only ever had Chinese medicine.
Apart from the Camoxidan, they presumably gave her an AAU.
And she says that every friend of hers that's been treated in a Western hospital has come out in a box. Hang on, Mum.
Well, the cardiac enzymes rules out a heart attack. There's clearly some sort of a murmur, and the ECG shows a regular tracing. Let's give her diuretics, beta blockers, and run a stress echo first thing tomorrow morning, OK?
Hang on. What? All she needs is a cup of tea to restore the balance.
Right. Well, we might give you the beta blockers too, just to be on the safe side.
At a vending machine.
Well, she figured out something was up, just like I said she would.
And on a cross-examination, I'm afraid Becca folded. So she came to AAU demanding answers.
And she took the opportunity to inform the entire hospital.
OK, listen to me, listen to me. Here's the thing. Now everyone knows about it and the cat's out the bag, why don't we just go for it?
Go for what?
A proper wedding.
Oh, Sasha.
Girl, come on, come on. Bad dancing, too much food, a buffet, you know, and everyone we know and love there to support us.
We get married in 2 days' time.
Yeah, it's fine, Mum said she'd organise everything for us. Right, I've got to go. Look, she said nothing would make her happier than to give us the wedding we deserve. OK, just think about it, OK?
Oh, and, I'll go on a diet after the wedding. Yes? Promise.
He hurries away. Oliver smirks.
What? Will you stop laughing at me?
It's just that you could have come clean and instead you decide to jump through all these ridiculous hoops. You're a genius at making life difficult for yourself.
Shut up.
Honestly, it's what I love about you.
Beta blockers and gyrosics.
Yeah, do you need me to?
No, okay. I'm good, thanks.
Good.
Tea. Yes, thank you.
Yes, tea, but only if you take these.
Miss Yang hides the tablets in her cardigan pocket.
I'm sorry. What was that? No, you need to take them. Take them. But it says in your notes that you took two Camoxidan AAU, so hang on a minute. Empty your pockets. Pockets. Empty. Now.
Miss Yang does so reluctantly.
Well, these are aspirin. Why would they say Camoxidan if they gave you aspirin? I'm sorry, I don't understand.
Smiling across at Oliver, Miss Yang ties a length of red woolly string around Tara's wrist.
No. No, definitely not.
Oliver smiles at them.
As the sun travelled downwards, as she walked with grace across the sand, the tide moving gently toward the rocks, stopping close to the edge, she looked into the deep blue water. Well, that's very kind of you, thank you. I've been sat here for 2 hours trying to pluck up the courage to call her kids.
Her kids?
You've all assumed, and not unreasonably, that Henny is my wife.
Oh, I'm sorry, it was just something you said about proposing when you were 17.
I did, but my parents thought we were too young to know our own minds, so we went our separate ways. I joined the Merchant Navy, I wound up in Sydney. We married other people, had kids, lived our lives.
So, how did you...?
One night, 3 years ago, I couldn't sleep, so I went looking for something to read, and I found this. And there was her name. Our names together on the page. And I suddenly realised I spent most of my life feeling that, like, there was a part of me that was missing. The power of the internet. It took me 5 minutes to find her. Still living in the same town I'd left behind 40 years previously.
So, what did you do?
I contrived a business trip to London. I dropped her a casual email suggesting we have a quick coffee at Paddington Station. It took us 10 seconds to realise that
We've both spent our lives married to the wrong people.
Thursday.
Oh, good, you're still alive.
Why wouldn't I be?
You disappeared off the face of the earth last night and haven't been answering your mobile.
Yeah, well, I had studying to do, so I just switched it off.
Right.
Miss Yang?
Yeah. Lucy, grab me a crash trolley, please. Morning, Professor Hope.
Right. Seems to be having some sort of reaction. What have you given her?
Beta blockers and diuretics.
Right. Has she taken anything else? Eaten opiates?
Unlikely. Look at her.
Didn't she have Clomoxidan on AAU?
No, she just had aspirin.
OK, I'll check. Right. Does she have any allergies?
I don't know. This is her first time in hospital. She doesn't have any notes.
You didn't just ask her. Dr. Lowe, we need to find out if she's allergic to anything. Who are you calling?
My mum.
Is she a cardiologist?
Oh, I remember. It's a Chinese lady knitting, spoke no English. She was prescribed 2 Clomoxidan on ward.
Yeah, but did you actually see her take them?
I can't honestly remember why.
Oh, she's been pretending to take her medication, putting the pills in her pocket, but the pills in her pocket are just aspirin tablets. There's no record of anything.
No, you're quite right. My mistake. She was just given aspirin. I'll amend our records. Bye.
Thank you.
Putting the phone down, Luke watches Eddie closely, then goes to her.
Nurse McKee?
Yeah?
I've got a patient in bed 8 with acute abdominal pains. I wonder if you could get her 2 Clomoxidan?
Okay.
Failing that, I'm sure aspirin would be just as effective. After all, the two are pretty much interchangeable, aren't they?
So I spoke to Hemingway. It was just aspirin that they gave her. That's all.
This is a ridiculous situation.
This is our Western medicine. She told us it was poison.
What's she taken in the last 24 hours?
Could you ask her to please tell us what she's taken? Must be something.
Mum, she has
she's
to tell
Jack Naylor's
us what she's
patient.
Taken.
Could you page her?
It's already done.
Okay. Thank you. Could it be something she's eaten? Hello, hello, Mrs. Lowe. Yes, yes. What? Could you ask what has she had to eat and drink? Thank you.
Tea, Papa.
What?
Of course.
Well, this all looks very cosy. Do you mind bringing me up to speed?
Miss Yang drinks Ma Huang tea, which contains ephedrine, which in large quantities would have exacerbated her aortic stenosis. I mean, this is something Chinese herbalists prescribe for a common cold. I think it's led to distension of her left ventricle, and I would suggest you perform an urgent aortic valve replacement.
Would you now? Well, I'm almost impressed. Prep her, you can join me in theatre.
Mum, hi, yes, no, it's fine. No, thank you, goodbye.
This has got nothing to do with you.
This has everything to do with me. One of our patients was in agony because she had no pain relief.
I gave her painkillers. It's not my fault if she chose not to take them.
Firstly, you're supposed to make sure the patient actually swallows what you give them. And secondly, you gave her the wrong pain relief. Why did you give her the wrong pain relief?
Why are you asking me a question when you already know the answer?
Because I want to hear you say it. I want you to tell me the truth, for once.
Fine. I swapped the Clomoxidan with aspirin because I knew it would make almost no difference whatsoever to her. And I had a headache.
If you had a headache, you might have taken the aspirin yourself. How many times have you done this?
A couple.
How many are you taking?
What difference does it make to you, Luke?
How many are you taking?
One every now and then. All right? It's not like I'm some massive pillhead. I'm a nurse. I know what I'm doing.
Well, like Schneider knew what he was doing.
Oh, you are loving this, aren't you?
Hmm?
Sat up there on your high horse, passing judgment on the rest of us.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. There is nothing I like more than sticking my neck on the line for someone, only to find out they've been lying to me all along.
I never asked you to stick up for me.
No, but I did, because I thought you were better than him. But you're not. Just as weak as he is. For the record, you put a foot wrong with a single one of my patients. You are on your own.
As Luke strides away, Eddie momentarily loses her composure. Malik shines a pen torch into Henny's left eye. Jock gets up and moves away. As Chrissy comes in, Malik looks up at her and shakes his head.
I just came to say goodbye. Our ship's ended now.
I wish you could have met her.
Did you manage to get hold of her children?
I called Ben, her eldest. He's on his way down with her sister.
Well done.
You wouldn't believe it.
He thanked me. He said he'd never seen her so happy as these last 3 years, that he could show me such kindness, you know, after...
So you can't regret what happened?
I can regret listening to my parents. I can regret the pain we caused, but... how can I regret the rest? No matter what else I've done, I found my soulmate. How many of us can say that?
Later, Chrissy's standing alone in an ITU corridor, deep in thought, when Malik appears.
You okay?
How do I know? How do I know if Sasha and I should be together? How do I know if I'm doing the right thing?
Listen, Chrissy. You're supposed to be getting married in less than 24 hours. If you're still not sure, maybe you need to talk to...
There she is, the blushing bride.
Chantal, give us a minute, please.
I just came to let you know you've got 15 minutes to change into something glam.
Why?
Albie's bar's been decorated with balloons.
I think that's my cue to her.
Don't you even think about it.
Chrissy puts on a surprised and happy face as she mingles. She's given a pink L plate, then a tiara and veils placed on her head. Esther's at the centre of things, laughing happily.
I asked your hubby to be a few questions about you and your relationship. Oh. So, now we're going to find out how well you really know each other. Okay, the first question's easy. Where did you two meet?
Right, we met in a bar.
The first thing she said to me was, you look nothing like your photograph.
And he didn't look anything like his photograph.
And from then on, it just got worse. I mean, she told me the only reason she was still there is because the first two guys she'd chosen had bailed.
We didn't really hit it off straight away.
She let me buy her the world's smallest glass of wine, okay, which she downed in about 3 seconds. And then she said to me, you seem like a nice guy.
But this really isn't happening. But he wouldn't give up.
That's my boy.
I said, OK, fine, fair enough. You don't fancy me, that's fair enough. But there is this Italian called Rodolfo's around the corner, which does the best tiramisu in the world. And I don't know about you, but I am absolutely starving. And we've both got to eat, haven't we?
I said I would come as long as he didn't make a pass at me.
I realise this is probably the only time in my life that I would get to spend time with a woman this beautiful. So I just thought, you know, I'd make the evening last as long as I could.
The restaurant was absolutely awful.
It is my absolute favourite restaurant, you know. Waiter singing opera, these fantastic murals, you know, in the loo.
And there was about 3 bottles of really cheap Chianti. You know, the stuff you get in a basket.
Oh.
And by the end of the night, we had conceived Daniel.
Oh, thanks for that. Wow, impressive. You should take notes.
That is so romantic. Do you ever go back to the restaurant?
No, I don't. I don't even know if it's still there.
Really? If it was me, I'd go back all the time. It's where it first began. OK, the next question. I asked Sasha what his favourite part of your body was.
Oh! What are you kidding? Who were you expecting? You didn't invite Hanson, did you?
Well, I did, but he said he has salsa class on a Thursday night.
Oh, it should be that dwarf stripper I ordered.
You didn't.
Ah, now this is what I call a party. You haven't shaved his eyebrows off yet.
You came!
Oh!
Yeah, there's still 12 hours to go. I didn't want to miss the opportunity to talk you out of making the biggest mistake of your life.
Jack grins, but Luke and Michael look taken aback.
Jack Naylor, ladies and gentlemen.
They toast around the small table in Luke's caravan.
I'm so happy to see this day. There was a time after what happened with Helen. I thought that he'd never get over it. A man's wife cheats on him like that. Took him a long time to trust anybody after that. That's why, in the end, I signed him up for the computer dating. doctor. You had to force him to go there. And then, at his first date, he meets you. As soon as I met you, I knew you were meant to be together. I knew before you did. In the Jewish faith, we believe that an unmarried man is incomplete. Tomorrow, you will make my Sasha finally complete.
I know technically we're colleagues.
Oh, here we go.
But I think of you guys as friends.
Well,
I really do. And I couldn't wish for better friends. I really couldn't. I love you guys.
Oh, there it is.
I love you guys. I just wish you could all have what I have.
Well, you know, in fairness, most of the hospital have had what you have.
Oh, come on, Jess. Yeah,
it's true.
It's fine. Look, look, who are we kidding? Who are we kidding? Chrissy never pretended to be a nun. Mm,
you've just gone with the usual scenarios. Japanese schoolgirl, flight attendant.
Sick. But, no, seriously, we have to hand him some credit here because this woman carries more baggage than a 737.
Really?
Several married consultants.
Yes, I know.
Connie Beecham's then-husband.
Yes.
Sam Strachan, Stuart McElroy. He cut her face. Who was the other one? Oliver Valentine.
Ah, yes. To be fair, she's not the only one to go there, is she, Jack?
Exactly.
Yeah, Greg Douglas.
What?
Dan Hamilton.
Dan Hamilton. She didn't marry any of them, did she?
Maybe.
You know, to the best of my knowledge, she's only been married once, and that was to Owen, and that ended a long time ago. And I imagine the affair he had with her mother probably didn't help.
Good God. Really?
Yes. look, whatever's happened in the past, I am the father of her child.
Maybe.
And, well... yes. And I am the man she wants to be married to, and that is good enough for me.
Hear, hear.
Thank you very much.
Cheers to that.
Malik brings a tray of drinks through the dancing crowd in Albie's bar. One woman's passed out in the corner.
Where's the guest of honour?
I thought she was with you.
Chantel spots the abandoned L plate, veil and tiara, then looks up through the crowd. Chrissy makes her way through the darkness to Luke's campervan, parked by trees across from the hospital. Jack steps out, grinning, as Chrissy arrives.
Chrissy? It's 12:15, so technically it's your wedding day. I thought it was supposed to be bad luck for the bride and groom to see each other before the... Oh, my God. You're not... Please don't make this any harder.
Of course you are. Of course you are. You're going to bail on him, aren't you?
Good.
What?
More than anyone I have ever met, he deserves to be happy. So if you can't stand up in front of everyone tomorrow and promise to be faithful to him for the rest of your life, then it's better to break his heart now, before this goes any further.
This has nothing to do with you.
It was always just a matter of time before you screwed him over. Because people don't change. Not really. And deep down, he's not what you want. But I guess you're the wrong side of 40 and scared of being on your own.
Jack walks away, leaving her words to sink in. Chrissy looks up sadly at the three men through the window enjoying themselves. Friday.
How are you feeling, Miss Yang? She says she's feeling much better. Well, the aortic valve replacement was a complete success, so, all being well, we should be able to send you home in the next few days. She looks confused. Why does she look confused?
She doesn't. She looks fine.
I'd better get on the translation hotline.
Thank you.
Well, you're welcome.
Hi.
Hey.
The red woolly string.
What's that mean? What's that?
No, don't know. No idea.
Tara rushes off, but Miss Yang gestures to Oliver to go after her.
Pam?
Sasha and Luke are in smart suits at the register office.
Hello? Is it me, or is it very, very quiet around here?
Eerily so.
Still no answer. From any of them, from Chrissy, from my mum. I just don't understand it. It makes no sense.
I'm sure there's a logical explanation.
Yes, well, there's a very logical explanation. I just don't want to face it.
You're hungry.
Sasha looks round at Luke. Later, a taxi pulls up outside Rodolfo's Italian restaurant. Luke gets out, then so does Sasha, looking dejected.
Why here?
Do you know it?
Well, this is the place I was telling you about. This is Rodolfo's, where we both met.
Sasha notices Chrissy step outside, dressed smartly, and glances at Luke with suspicion before walking over to her. His two daughters are there as well.
What's going on? We went to the registry office.
You didn't really want to get married in that tiny little room, did you?
I thought that's what you wanted.
I want to make you happy.
I don't understand. What does this mean?
What do you think it means, dummy?
You want to get married here? In Rodolfo's? Why here?
Apparently it does the best tiramisu in the world.
We're ready. He's here. Yep. Right.
Inside the restaurant, Becca turns on a stereo. Sasha's face breaks out in a wide grin as he steps in with a beaming Chrissy. Holding a posy of pale flowers and wearing a smart pink trouser suit, she smiles at Sasha. Even Jack's present, watching proceedings with a delighted-looking Elliot.
Who did all this then?
Us.
Esther smiles at her son. Pam, the registrar, steps into place ready, and Sasha offers Chrissy his arm. Oliver, Tara, Malik and Chantel all watch the couple walk towards Pam. Rick smiles as he watches in the decorated candlelit restaurant.
Ladies and gentlemen, a very warm welcome to you all. We're gathered here today to witness the marriage. Will you love her? Comfort her, honour and protect her, and forsaking all others, be faithful to her as long as you both shall live.
I will.
Chrissy, will you take Sasha to be your husband? Will you love him, comfort him, honour and protect him, and forsaking all others, be faithful to him as long as you both shall live?
I will.
Later. Everyone's seated.
And now, I believe that the beautiful bride would like to say a few words. So, ladies and gentlemen, I give you the new Mrs. Levy.
Well, I would just like to thank my new mother-in-law and my gorgeous bridesmaids for helping me organise such a special occasion in such short notice. Now, it's no big secret that in my search for Prince Charming, I've kissed a lot of frogs. And it has taken me a while to realise that the best man of all was right under my nose the whole time. And as luck would have it, he's the father of my child. Now, a few of you have asked when I first realised, you know, what was the moment that I knew he was the man for me? Well, I can give you three moments. One was last December, when he sat at a bar
by a piano and serenaded me to his unique version of Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. And one was an awful week earlier this year when I thought I might have lost him. And I was more frightened, more lost than I'd ever been in my life. And one was seeing him through someone else's eyes. A mutual friend of ours said that out of everyone she had ever met, he deserved to be happy. And I realized they were right. And that I was the lucky woman who's been given that job. I know that I will never meet a man as good as you. As kind as you. And I promise that I will do everything I can to make you happy.
Chrissy smiles at Sasha, then leans down to him sitting next to her, and they kiss and hug. Jack watches with a cool smile. Later on, Sasha shimmies through a dancing crowd with a grin.
So, I looked up the red string online.
Miss Yang is just a crazy old lady.
Yeah, it turns out the gods tie an invisible string around those who are destined to be together. She thinks we're soulmates.
Oh. There's no such thing.
Jack gets to her feet.
Leaving?
Yes, when the dancing starts, it's my cue to leave, definitely. I don't want to endure inebriated dad dancing.
Shim, I'm in the mood for a boogie.
Who invited you?
Elliot was kind enough to tip us off.
And there was no way I was going to pass up a wedding. Free bar, lots of desperate single women. What's with the love? So, are you and me going to dance or what?
I don't dance.
Fair enough. But I challenge you to resist the urge to move. You see this?
You really have no self-respect at all, do you?
Screw self-respect. It's a wedding.
Anyway. Right, you dancing? Oh, I know. Is it because it's really uncomfortable to move with that pole stuck up your ass? Don't ignore me. Oi, where are you going? I'm talking to you.
Eddie pushes her way to the DJ's microphone.
I just want to say, well done, Sasha.
Yay!
Yay! Yay! Finally grown a pair. Woohoo! And Chrissy? Chrissy? Try not to cut them off all at once, will you? Oh, Luke Hemingway. Hello, everybody. Look, it's Luke Hemingway.
Stop it, you're making a fool of yourself.
Oh, no. Luke Hemingway thinks I'm making a fool out of myself everywhere. I think that I am. I think it's because you're so goddamn boring.
Right,
don't
touch
me. Don't.
Luke grabs her and carries Eddie out on his shoulder.
Don't touch me!
Well, now it's a wedding, right? Come on, don't be like that. You've seen drunk people before. Come on, DJ, let's get the music on. Malik, show them how it's done. Come on now.
Michael grins, making space for Malik to spin and start dancing, getting everyone moving again. Sasha looks concerned, though. Outside.
Luke, why can't you just leave me alone?
Because I don't trust you to look after yourself.
You want to talk to me about trust? Okay. Luke, how about I trusted you? How about I trusted you enough to give you my key? And you ran away. No explanation, no reason, you just vanished. I'd have done anything for you. No, don't. You did this to me. All right, so don't think you can come back here now playing some kind of hero because it makes you feel less guilty, because it is not going to make me hate you any less. And believe me, I hate you. I really hate you.
He watches her walk off along the alley behind the restaurant towards the main street. Sasha's mingling happily with his guests. A man kisses a happy Chrissy on each cheek, then Elliot does the same. Oliver puts down a beer bottle, heading for Tara.
Hey, wanna dance?
I don't dance.
Why not?
I don't wanna make a fool out of myself.
Well, see, that's the great thing about dancing. So long as we both make a fool of ourselves at the same time, it doesn't matter, does it?
I don't know.
Just go with it. Don't overthink it.
Ladies and gentlemen, would you make your way outside as the bride and groom are ready to leave?
As people start to file outside, Tara stands up in front of Oliver and kisses him sweetly on the lips. She smiles into his eyes.
What, Amy?
What does that mean?
Looking bashful, Tara picks up her bag and hurries outside, smiling back at Oliver. Sasha climbs into a large, classic black and white car next to Chrissy.
I will, I promise you, I will. Bye, hang on, wait. Bye. Bye.
Wow. Mrs. Levy.
Mrs. Levy.
Chrissy thinks, looking content. That night, Luke pulls a duvet up around Eddie, who's asleep in his camper van. As he gently strokes her hair away from her face, she frowns slightly and stirs in her sleep. Luke thinks and sighs with deep concern.